Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Melville on this second Sunday of Easter. It is good to be together to worship God. As we gather for worship today, we recognize that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Wendat, the Anishinaabeg Nation, the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, the Mississaugas of Scugog, Hiawatha, and Alderville First Nations, as well as the Métis Nation. This territory was the subject of the Dish with One Spoon Wampum Belt Covenant, an agreement between the Iroquois Confederacy and the Ojibwe and allied nations to peaceably share and care for the resources around the Great Lakes. The treaties that were signed for this particular land are collectively referred to as the Williams Treaties of 1923. We recognize and give thanks for the enduring presence of Indigenous people on this land, and commit ourselves to the continuing work of healing and reconciliation. As part of this work is a commitment to learning. So we are grateful that within our congregation, we have a team who are helping us to learn together. And today, we are grateful to Laura, who is going to share with us.
Good morning, everybody. So, social media has become a part of our everyday lives as a place for people to connect and to be entertained. Though social media has its moments of toxicity, it also poses the possibility of learning and growth. One of the most popular social media sites at the moment is TikTok. TikTok is a constant cycle of short videos ranging from 15 seconds to 3 minutes. The medium was originally created for entertainment purposes, and though it continues to be entertaining and sometimes problematic, a large portion of the content being created is educational. There are typical school-based resources teaching math, English, biology, whatever you can think of, but it also goes beyond that, stepping into the realm of social education. This platform has provided a space for the voiceless or undervoiced to share their stories and histories. This includes Indigenous communities and Indigenous community members. Though there are hundreds of content creators who create content discussing Indigenous history, I would like to point out specifically James Jones, aka Notorious Cree on TikTok. James Jones is a traditional hoop dance artist who has performed and traveled across Europe, China, Australia, North America, and is ranked among the top 5 hoop dancers in the world. Some of James's notable performances include the 2006 World Ski Cup Championships in Italy, 2010 Vancouver Olympics, 2014 Juno Awards, 2015 Pan Am Games, and the 2015 Coachella Music Festival, and the 2015 Sydney Opera House James has worked along such artists as KOS and Snoop Dogg. In 2009, James appeared as a finalist on the popular TV show So You Think You Can Dance Canada, and is currently hoop dancing on a world tour with Juno Award-winning group called A Tribe Called Red. James not only shares his Cree culture through the sharing of traditional dance and regalia, but he speaks of the experience of learning what it means to be Cree in a country that tried so hard to wipe the Cree culture out of existence, and what allies can do to support the voices and growth of Indigenous people in a world that so often tries to silence them. Things and made a lot of really incredible videos. The first one that you saw there was actually a campaign that he worked on with the Cartoon Network, which is a huge media conglomerate that works on making children's entertainment. So it's really cool to see these stories and this beautiful art be communicated into a grander and more populous audience. Social media can be a tricky beast to navigate, but I am eternally thankful that there is an accessible space for Indigenous people like James Jones to share the beauty of their culture, and where non-Indigenous people can learn how to do better. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you, Laura. As we move through our worship service today, the order is going to be a little bit less familiar than usual, although not too far from the norm. The worship committee has planned this service to help us continue to hear the story and the voices of Easter. And it reminds us that Easter is not a one-day event, but a life-changing, world-changing outpouring of God's love. It's not a story to be restricted to that single week in the spring, but a story to be told over and over again. And so with help from a few of our favorite video dramas from the Skit Guys, we'll be revisiting some of the well-known characters of the Easter narrative. We start with Lazarus and his sister. His sister Mary, on the morning after Palm Sunday, a day we do not usually meet them in Scripture. But you may remember that Jesus's friend Lazarus became sick and died. And Jesus went to the tomb and called him to come out, which he did, fully alive. This story is about all of the ways in which Jesus surprises people and overturns expectations. Throughout his ministry, even when everyone else felt like they'd lost control over a situation, you'll notice that the same is never true for Jesus. The Jesus that we worship today and every day, the Jesus who is welcomed into Jerusalem with waving palm branches, never panics or loses control based on our insecurities, on our grief, or our lack of understanding. He calls us to follow him, trusting that he is everything we need, but nothing that we expect. Just as Jesus called Lazarus to come out, we are called to worship God with every fiber of our being.
Sing joyful praises to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of his name. Tell the world how glorious he is. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Everything on earth will worship you. They will sing your praises, shouting your name in glorious songs. Come and see what our God has done, what awesome miracles he does for his people. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever.
Let us pray. When the day is quiet and the world still sleeps and the morning is crisp and love breathes again, we praise you, O God of resurrection. When the time is now and the moment is with us and the place is here and the grave clothes are folded, we praise you, God of renewal. When the day is new and the sun is fresh and the light is clean and the stone has rolled, we praise you, God of empty tombs. Now we see the world differently. What we thought was the way of things yesterday is no longer the way of things today. Death was yesterday, new life is today. Tombs were sealed, now they are open. Hope was dead, but is now alive again. When the shouting has stopped and the suffering ended and the betrayal complete and the darkness stolen, then we praise you, God of life. We bless you for creating the whole world, for your promises and for the life we know in Jesus Christ, your Son. Even when we turned away from you, you never rejected us. You spoke words of mercy and love through the prophets, promising to swallow up death forever and to host a banquet for all people, a feast of life-giving sustenance. We praise you for Jesus, your word made flesh. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Leading his followers, he guides us. Dying on the cross, he rescues us, and risen from the dead, he gives us new life. Loving God, source of all that is eternally raised up, we give you thanks for your unspeakable gift of Christ Jesus. Amen. We are an Easter people. We believe that faith can move mountains. We trust that with your grace present, even the smallest act of kindness The shortest practice of goodness or the slightest gesture of generosity can have significance well beyond our expectations. With that faith, O Lord, we are resurrected into new life. With that faith, we give freely and joyfully. Generous God, take all that we give, take our very lives, and bless all that we offer to share the joy, love, and hope of the resurrection according to your will. Amen. One of the amazing things about Easter, but one of the confusing things about Easter, is that we think we understand the picture. The disciples thought they understood when they went to the tomb and they saw the grave clothes folded and the stone rolled away. But as we know, some of them thought that Jesus' body had been stolen. They didn't know what had happened. They thought that Jesus died and that was the end. They didn't know the whole story, and neither do we. We don't see everything that God sees. We only see little snapshots. And one of the gifts of our faith is that God continues to help us to learn and to see a little bit more clearly and a little bit more clearly and a little bit more clearly as we go along. So today, this next video for us is about his friends Peter and John. And they have realized that Jesus is gone from his tomb. And they struggle to understand what that might mean. And you're going to notice that one of them is thinking big picture and is trying to figure out the what that big picture might look like. And one of them is really stuck on only that little bit that they can see. And we're going to see how they work that out as they talk to each other. The good news of Easter continues, and as we prepare to hear from God's word, what happened next, let us pray. Living God, the good news of Easter is so wonderful, so magnificent, that sometimes we struggle to wrap our heads around it. Give our hearts the wisdom to receive that which our heads cannot fully understand, and that which our eyes can only partly see. Send your spirit to fill our whole bodies with the truth of your resurrection promise. Amen.
Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord.
Our final conversation today comes from the two disciples who Jesus met on the road to Emmaus. And this scene happens probably 50 years after the fact. But you can still tell that it's their favorite story. It's a story that they've told so many times that it's part of the rhythm of their lives. It weaves in and out of other stories that they might tell along the way. You may have storytellers like this in your own families, and you know when that comfortable story gets going that there will be twists and turns and tangents. This story about Jesus changed their lives. It changed everything forever. And so even years later, the disciples remember that moment as if it were only yesterday. The moment that Jesus broke bread and their eyes were opened. Unlike some moments in the way that our two friendly disciples tell the story, there are some details from Luke's account that are very clear. On the first Easter Sunday, when Jesus arose from the grave, two followers of Jesus were on their way back to their home in Emmaus. Although they weren't identified as two of the 12 disciples, they were clearly followers of Jesus who had been in Jerusalem for the Passover and had firsthand knowledge of Jesus' arrest, trial, crucifixion, and burial. They knew about the empty tomb. And they were just out for a walk. And then it was dinner time. Have you ever stopped to think about how many important moments happen at the table in Jesus's ministry? All over the world, but particularly in the East, in terms of cultural expectations, to share a meal with someone is more than just feeding your body. It's more than that it's just dinner time. To share a meal with someone is a guarantee of peace, trust, friendship, forgiveness. The shared table represents shared life. Breaking bread together is not a casual happenstance. It's relationship. It's sacred. It's not surprising then that the people that Jesus chose to eat with, like Zacchaeus, caused some pretty strong reactions in the community. They might be people that you talk to on the road, but the minute you sit down to eat with them, you've entered into a holy space of relationship. And that's what started to get people upset. The table is also the place where Mary poured perfume on Jesus' feet. It was where Jesus served his own disciples by washing their feet. And finally, here, when he was at table with them, He took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. They saw clearly, and they recognized him before he vanished from their sight. Their eyes were opened as Jesus broke the bread. They realized that it was Jesus who had walked and talked with them along the road and who had been there in their home, sitting at their table in that sacred space of relationship, nourishment, and love. We know this isn't where the story ends, but it's also not where it starts. The first post-resurrection meal in the disciples' home actually parallels another significant meal that is spoken of regularly at a table by God's people throughout history. It is one of the dinner conversations in the faith practice of God's people, particularly the people of Israel. The first time the act of eating appears in the Bible is in Genesis. Notice a phrase that is used in Genesis 3 that is echoed in Luke's account of this first post-resurrection meal. So when the woman, Eve, saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to Adam who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Eyes were opened at the first meal and at the first post-resurrection meal. N.T. Wright describes the significance of the ways that Luke parallels these two meals, saying the following. The tale was told over and over as the beginning of the woes that had come upon the human race. Death itself was traced to that moment of rebellion. The whole creation was subjected to decay, futility, and sorrow. Now Luke, echoing that story, describes the first meal of the new creation, with the couple in Emmaus discovering that the long curse had been broken. Death itself had been defeated. God's new creation, brimming with life and joy and new possibility, has burst in on the world, breaking open the tombs of decay and sorrow. Jesus himself, risen from the dead, is the beginning and the sign of this new world. And their eyes were opened. The whole gospel story is framed between these two human scenes, and the gospel writer invites us to accompany him on a journey of faith that takes us through anxiety and sorrow to meet Jesus, who has accomplished his Father's work and who longs to share the secret of it, the gift of his own presence with us, his followers. Luke has described for us, as he says he would, the new exodus that Jesus would accomplish at Jerusalem. Jesus had led God's people out of slavery to death, and now invites them to accompany him on the new journey to the promised land of eternal life. The road to Emmaus is just the beginning. Hearing Jesus's voice in scripture, knowing him, seeing him in the breaking of bread is the way. Welcome to God's new world. For the early church, breaking bread together was a significant part of being a follower of Jesus. And next week, we are going to break bread together. And the place that they and we break bread is at the table. Whether we are physically breaking bread or not, we do gather with the table at the center of our faith as a church family. We gather as friends, we gather in our own homes, we gather at our own tables, and in all the places that we gather, may we always remember who Jesus is and what it means to follow him. May we break bread, may we open scripture, and may we pray, asking the Holy Spirit to continue to open the eyes of our hearts and minds to who he is and who he wants us to be. In doing so, we remember him until he comes again. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, O God, for you are good. Your steadfast love endures forever. We thank you, God, for the many ways you provide for our needs, for air and water, food and shelter, for work to do and rest to sustain us. We pray for your creation, too often at risk because of the choices we've made. Help us care for the earth and all its creatures and relationships. Show us how to cherish the gifts you have given and protect them for future generations. We give thanks to you, O God, for you are good. Your steadfast love endures forever. We thank you, God, for family, for families we were born into or adopted into, for families we married into, and families who have welcomed us into their midst as their own, for friends and neighbors that build community alongside us. We pray for those who have lost family members and relationships, for new losses and old wounds that do not heal. We pray for those for whom family and friendship is complicated, for those who know abuse and pain and who struggle in the family circle. God, we thank you for friendship, for friends who have supported us through these many months of restrictions, for those who bring us joy and wise counsel. Help us to extend the gift of friendship to those who continue to experience isolation, anxiety, loneliness, and grief. Help us as we continue to move forward with lessened restrictions with joy to remember that there are those who remain isolated, for those who still cannot go out and enjoy what others may enjoy. We give thanks to you, O God, for you are good. Your steadfast love endures forever. We thank you, God, for the peace and freedom we enjoy here in Canada. We pray for those places who do not enjoy the same freedom and peace. Lord, we pray these prayers of thanksgiving, knowing that we do so from a place of privilege, and that even here in our own communities, there are those who know neither freedom nor peace. So, Lord, whether here or abroad, we pray for those who live under oppression, in conflict zones, persecution, hunger, fear. We pray for those who have fled their homelands in search of safety. We pray for those who long to flee their homelands, but cannot find a way out. Lord, give us courage to stand up for people who cannot stand up for themselves, but more so, help us to create platforms and ways that give them their own voices, so that all may know your peace and freedom. We thank you, God, for your church, for so many who give of their time and talent and energy to the work that we undertake together in Jesus' name. By your Spirit, we ask you to guide us as we regroup after years of pandemic and inspire us with new insights into mission and ministry. We pray for the other churches in our community and in our presbytery and the sense of mission that guides each one into service. We pray for congregations who felt deeply the months of closure and isolation, who were not able to stay connected as many of us were. We pray for them as they rebuild community together. In whatever ways we meet for fellowship and worship, Lord, fill us with a deeper sense of unity so that we can model relationships that transcend differences in this divided world. Lord, you are good and your steadfast love endures forever. And we give thanks for the gift of your Son, whose resurrection empowers us to look to the future with hope. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit who draws us into the unity with you and one another, as together we offer the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.